Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are, whatever day part it is where you're listening. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you're listening to the Power Hours. And we're just excited that you are here. And I'm joined tonight, as most Tuesday nights, by my lady, my love, my partner, my best friend, Robin.
Hi, honey. I'm here.
Hi, darling.
Hi.
So, I was checking the weather forecast before we went on the air, and looks like we got some weather moving up the coast.
Yeah.
And yeah. It looks like it might even be missing us at home and catching us over here where I work and up the coast itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about full body slam to like D.C., Philly, New York City, Boston, all up
mm-hmm.
the coast. So sounds like a ton of fun. And some inches over here in eastern PA where I am, a little north of Philly, where I work, and I'm gonna bug out before the weekend hits and before all the snow, and I'm going to come home where it's supposed to be sunny all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be sunny at home all weekend. Kind of crazy. So, anyway, how's things going at the house?
I was going to say, I'm just need to let you know, I'm having trouble getting into the chat room. This is the fourth time I've tried to sign in, so I may have to abandon the idea and just do it on the phone, but we'll see. Oh, finally I'm entering.
There we go.
Yay,
you made it.
Yes, I did.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, and we've got another person in there that keeps, popping in and dropping out, so I'm not quite sure what's going on with the chat room tonight. So,
mm-hmm.
Glad you made it. So, tonight, we are continuing the Fool's Journey through the major arcana of the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight is the Wheel of Fortune. An interesting card.
Mm-hmm.
Just about halfway through. And,
yeah.
And kind of a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
The wheel is definitely symbolic of turning. And, it's interesting that, last time we were together talking about a card, we were talking about the hermit.
Yeah.
And, that was where the fool on his journey had looked within, sought solitude, and was asking the questions of why, why are we here, why am I here, what is, what is it, what's the point of it all? And so that looking within is now beginning to express itself outward, this vision of the wheel in a bright sky. The word Torah, if you look at the letters in one direction, and tarot, if you look at them in the other direction. Here are answers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the mystery. Here's the turning point.
Yeah.
It's kind of beauty and order and connectedness. Everything fits. It's not random. There's these amazing patterns and cycles, and the wheel itself symbolizes cycles. And here the fool begins to see the bigger picture. Even if for a moment in that glance of a vision, the realization that not everything is random. Not everything is chance. Sometimes the universe works toward our destiny. Sometimes the universe works toward putting us in a position to fulfill our destiny or to fight it,
mm-hmm.
depending on how the cards read in a reading. This Wheel of Fortune could be this amazing card of chance or an indication that chance has run out, depending on what cards are around it.
Yeah.
But in all cases, it's an indication of a bigger picture. So the fool is beginning to get some answers. And those of you that are taking the fool's journey with us and meditating for these 2 or 3 weeks between cards, now is the time to look. You know, we've looked within. Now is the time to look at the big picture. Look at how all the parts work together. Look at the harmony and beauty and order, the patterns and cycles, and see where you fit. And recognize that there is a bit of destiny in this sequence of events. This is kind of a turning point. And we've been looking within, and now we're taking action again. So that's what I take from this card when I'm working through the fool's journey, when I'm working through that self-discovery.
Well, I kind of see... You know, we just did the Hermit. His last card was the Hermit. And I kind of see this card as a returning to the world from his period of isolation. And that this card represents the, sort of the rise and the fall of people's lives, the cycle of your life, the up and down. I also see that it can be a sign that change is coming. And generally, it's considered fortuitous change, good change. You're going to get the job you were looking for, or the money that you needed, or whatever. That the good change, the luck is going to come back to you. Your good karma is going to find you. Kind of change. You've sort of been through the ringer with some of the previous cards, and you did the Hermit thing where you hunkered down and did some self-evaluation, and now it's time to get a reward of some sort. And to be changed as you reemerge, almost like a rebirth, as you've been changed, as you reemerge into the real world. And, I see this card as essentially being about luck and change.
Yes. I agree with you completely on that. It is about good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting. Not all of the cards have quite so profound a Judeo-Christian symbolism in them.
Yeah.
Most of them are pretty, pretty spiritual, generally symbolic. But this card, interestingly enough, mixes some very interesting Egyptian symbolism, which we've seen throughout the major tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Or the major arcana, rather. But now we see almost an overt Christian influence. While some people see the angel and the eagle and the winged lion and the winged bull as representing kind of cardinal directions in the zodiac, anybody who studied symbology will see that these are the four evangelists. These are the symbols that the church uses to represent Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the writers of the four canonized gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And so these symbols are incredibly overt in their Christian reference. And I find that interesting that there are very few cards that have that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of Egyptian symbolism. There's some Kabbalistic symbolism, and this one intermingles the two.
Yeah.
Because we've got the Sphinx. Some people might even say that that red creature on the bottom is, they might even see it as a, what was it? Someone saw it as an Anubis.
Mm-hmm.
And even tried to compare it to Hermes. I'm not quite so sure about that. I kind of see a with all of the other Judeo-Christian symbols, I kind of see a potential for us to be overcome, to push our luck a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that creature as necessarily a messenger of good, but perhaps a messenger of caution. Now, even the snake, depending on your worldview, that snake could be the life force of the universe, or it could be a symbol of, the serpent, the tempter, the one that would turn us away from our path, from our true path, or even our connection to the divine. So the symbolism on this is kind of intermingled with alchemical symbols and Kabbalistic symbols, the words, the letters for one of the names of God are in the Hebrew characters between the Latin characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a IHVH, which is considered by some the unpronounceable name of God, but it's very similar to a Yahweh kind of or Yahweh kind of pronunciations. So, again, we see that that Kabbalistic symbolism, but all of it's intermingled with this attitude of cycles and the big picture. Our good fortune, luck is on our side,
mm-hmm.
and generally represents an opportunity either coming to us that we have in front of us right now, And again, that all depends on the cards surrounding, and of course the reader. You know, we may get the message, we may see the card, and as a reader, get the message in our connection to the divine, however it is we connect when we do a reading. And we may get the message that this is an opportunity that is about to slip away. It could be an opportunity that is coming. It could represent something that has recently changed, and it is possibly more more profound a change than is realized. Usually good. It could be something that happened, depending on the cards, it could be something that happened that was perceived as bad at the moment, but cleared the way for something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, some amazing layers of symbolism. A lot of the cards are kind of in your face with the symbolism. This one is layer upon layer upon layer of symbolism and room for interpretation.
True.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, when I look at the symbolism on this card, like you, it's kind of a mishmash of things. The figures, you know, all being winged, and as you said, you know, being representative of the apostles. And I see that red figure on the card almost as a representation of the temptation of flesh, which is also mirrored in the temptation of, meaning of the serpent. And but the serpent's also the bringer of knowledge in some traditions. As is the Sphinx, is the mythical creature who, you know, guards the library of knowledge. And so with change and the representation of this card that, you know, change is about to happen, often comes the knowledge from change. So it's almost like a don't fear what you're about to learn from the coming change.
Yeah, as long as you know the riddles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sphinx is the riddler, the protector mm-hmm. of knowledge behind the riddles.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you that that red figure is, like I said, a messenger of warning. Warning against
mm-hmm.
the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be very easy to get swept up in the good luck and the good fortune and kind of lose track of where you're really going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is always a temptation with good fortune,
mm-hmm.
is to lose sight of the real purpose and where you come from and where you should be going.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about this card is the name of this card, Wheel of Fortune, has entered the popular lexicon of our culture. We even have a game show named The Wheel of Fortune. This card obviously predated a lot of the chance games of chance that you find at carnivals and stuff that talk about, you know, spin the wheel and win a prize. We think, but the origins in this card may in fact have something to do with that, considering it is a wheel and it does have characters. And it is called the Wheel of Fortune. So in some ways it's saying that you're, you know, this change that's coming, this is a chance you're taking. And you have to sort of trust and leave it to, leave the path that's coming, this path of change up to the gods and just have trust that it's going to work.
Well, again, that goes back to the concept of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I both teach that there is a reason for each incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Not just lessons to be learned, but tasks to perform and things to achieve. And that we do, at least in my belief, we choose the circumstances of each incarnation so as to allow us the best chance to fulfill that objective, the lessons as well as achieve the mission, if you will, of this incarnation. And when we are working toward that, life tends to go pretty easily. Now, you and I have seen it time and again in just the time that we have been together. When we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing, the obstacles fall away, miraculously. And,
yeah.
You know, no matter where, and no matter what you're doing, if it's against your destiny, your life is a struggle. And learning that about yourself is an important part of this card, is looking for order and destiny and figuring out where your life is supposed to be going. And sometimes, again, the cards that surround this will give us some clues.
Very true. Right. So if you're doing a reading, because you've mentioned this a couple of times already, about the cards around this. So this is one of those truly morphic cards where, you know, if you throw, the Tower and the Wheel of Fortune and, you know, who knows, some other card after it, these cards around it are going to influence the meaning of this particular card. Now, that does happen to a certain extent with most of the cards, but this one in particular is very sensitive to that. So when you're doing a reading using the Rider-Waite and you throw the Wheel of Fortune card, you really have to pay attention to where it's placed in regard to other cards.
Oh, absolutely, because if it's the Tower, then the Wheel of Fortune, then that's kind of an indication that the destruction in your life that you thought was horrible,
mm-hmm.
when everything fell apart or appeared to fall apart,
mm-hmm.
and was just, oh, my world is over, my life is ended. But then the Tower followed by the Wheel of Fortune says, you know, that all had to happen so that you could get this.
True.
On the other hand, if it's the other way around, and you've got the Wheel of Fortune followed by the Tower,
mm-hmm.
well, that could indicate that perhaps good fortune is running out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe hard times are coming. Maybe some change is coming that's going to be somewhat less than ideal, because, you know, people are always afraid of the Death card. They're afraid of the Devil card. I will tell you the Tower card, to me, the scariest card in the deck. But we'll talk about that in a few weeks. But if the Tower follows the Wheel of Fortune, watch out. If it's the other way around, it's an indication of moving out of that and into good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can talk more about those after the break. I do want to remind people that we do take calls on the show at 646-564-9714.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is 646-564-9714. And wait for the British lady to finish talking, and then you'll start hearing the show. Press the 1 button, and that lets us know that you want to talk. And if you're listening through Blog Talk Radio in their in the embedded listening portal, you can also use Skype. There's a Skype button there, and you can use that to call in. And with whatever keyboard device you have, you would also hit 1. To throw up a flag. So, with all of that said, I wanted to, you know, let people know that we do take calls. If you've got any questions, comments, if you want to disagree with us, as long as you're polite and it doesn't degenerate into name-calling, I will be happy. And so will Robin to discuss, even debate, our interpretation of the cards. We always look forward to hearing from our listeners.
Absolutely true.
So, let's see. A couple more things. I want to get a little hit, after the break, I want to get a little more heavily into meaning in a reading, because I wanted to touch one more time on the Fool's Journey and how that has played out, perhaps a recap, because we are at card number 10, which is actually the 11th card in the deck, in the Arcana. Because the Fool is zero. And so we are just almost, I think, dead on halfway around. And it's time to kind of recap. The Fool began, as all fools, as we always do, full of innocence and ready to take this journey regardless of hazard, pain. We're on a path. We're gonna do this. We're spontaneous, and it's fresh. It's the beginning. Along the way, we encounter the magician and the high priestess in order, showing the forces, the balancing forces. Robin and I are always talking about the masculine and the feminine in total balance in every moment. And here we have the magician, who is about will, about the power of the will, the active masculine power of creation, followed immediately by the mysterious subconscious of, and very feminine, of the high priestess. And the duality of the active versus passive, the conscious versus subconscious, that total balance of the two. And those lessons get learned early in our journey through the Arcana. This is followed by an encounter with the Empress, who is, by most accounts, the mother of the deck. And she is the archetypal mother, totally nourishing, totally sustaining, totally loving. Everything that is beautiful and wonderful and tactile. You know how babies love to touch and taste everything? Well, that's what the Empress is about, that world of sensation. Then we meet the father, the emperor, and we experience rules, authority, structure, the pattern that sets us on our path. And then from there, we move on to the Hierophant, where we get an education. We develop our belief structures. We start identifying with groups at this point, and we start experiencing peer pressure and that desire to fit in. After this, during that time period of learning, we start to mature to the point of wanting a partner. You know, sexuality blooms. We're looking for that relationship. And we have to figure out our values involving relationships, sexuality, partners, and how that's going to be balanced with life. From there, we encounter as an adult now, we start we encounter the charioteer, the chariot card. And discipline and willpower and taking control of our lives and how we can overcome and take control of our environment. This is the big ego card. And we are proud, we are victorious, we are visibly, consciously in control.
Mm-hmm.
And then we experience the strength card, which helps us to realize that true strength is within.
Yeah.
We start to develop patience, tolerance, a softer approach to our world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that the control we really need is over ourselves, not over our environment. And then we encounter the hermit, or we become the hermit, because with this realization of control being of ourselves, within ourselves, we start to pass more within, and we search for the answers, the why, as I expressed earlier in the show, the why. Why are we here? Why is this happening? Why do we incarnate? Why do we live and die? And what's the point? If we're just going to be born and we're going to muddle through this, and then we die. And we experience that again and again in our journey, in our cycle through the arcana. And we spend time in solitude looking within, just like the hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a period of solitude, we reach the Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
The turning point, the vision of the patterns, the cycles, the grander scheme, the big picture. And we start to see our place in that pattern and how not everything that happens to us is chance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's given to us. Sometimes it's an opportunity provided. But this is certainly a turning point between inward and outward expression. And as we start to look at the bigger picture, we start to express ourselves into it. And our sense of purpose is restored, and we move forward into the world again. So, there we have recapped the Fool's Journey to now. Again, we encourage you to take a card and put it somewhere. If you're following this as a period of meditation as we're doing, put this in a prominent place, perhaps on your altar, on a mirror somewhere that you see it on a regular basis, and study the card. Look at the symbolism, look at the layers, see what the card means to you and what lessons the card has for you in your life. Because the Fool's Journey is a path of growth. And growth and self-discovery. And if we follow this and we study the cards as we go, seeking guidance from the divine, we will find that every time we do this, we'll have different understandings of the cards, but we will always grow if we seek to grow. So, was there anything you wanted to add while I cue up the song?
Not really, other than just this card is kind of a busy card with symbology compared to some of the others, so it's a really good card to, you know, spend some time with meditating. I know I say this about all the cards, but this one in particular, because there is so much to absorb here, so much to look at and interpret, and you should never let the classical interpretation of this card from some book color how you feel about the card. You know, do the in-depth connection with the card so that you can really have a feel for it. And if you can do that, you know, you can sit down with just about any tarot deck and read without really missing a beat.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking to learn the cards, then this journey is a great way of learning the cards, as well as I'm always talking about deepening our connection to the divine. So I always see this as a path of self-discovery and growth.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly it's also an amazing way to just learn the cards and do better reading, more connected reading. So, with all of that said, our buddy from across the pond, Dave Bard, has a song called The Wheel. And it just seems like somehow it's an appropriate song for tonight. It's not quite about this card, but it is about cycles. So, it seems like a good song for the evening. So, we're going to play The Wheel by Dave Bard, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Everybody, stick around.
Thank you. Join us Thursday, May 26th through Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day weekend 2016, for Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival. Join 29 of your favorite bands and musicians, including Tuatha Dea, Dave the Bard, Dragon Ritual Drummers, Wendy Rule, S.J. Tucker, Digis Christ Superdrum, and many more. Great music, great food, great vendors, and great workshops presented by the musicians themselves. Plus, the official CD release of the Green Album, a great collaboration album by many of the artists that will be at Caldera Fest. For more information, visit Caldera Fest on Facebook or go to www.calderafest.com.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you're listening to the Power Hours. And my lady, Robin, my darling, are
you
there?
Hello. Yes, sir, I am.
Hey. All right. It's always a good night when you're on the radio with
me. Well, then,
better night when night when we're together, but it's always a good night when we're here.
Yeah, well, thank you. I feel the same way.
So, well, I bloody hope so. Anyway, so, so tonight, we are talking about the Wheel of Fortune card.
Yes, we are.
And we've talked a lot about the turning points and good luck and destiny. And, you know, the card itself, you know, we talked about how it fits into the Fool's journey of growth and self-discovery. And then we promised to talk for a few minutes after the break about the meanings, or more deeply about the meanings when it shows up in a card, or in a reading. You know, what does it mean? And, you know, to me, it is, like you said, it's about karma. It's about good luck. It's fortune. It's an indication that perhaps we are on our path, fulfilling our destiny, and the universe is recognizing that and giving us what we need to make it easier.
Yeah.
But it is a change card as well. You know, it indicates the cycle of life. I mean, even the fact that it has eight spokes, which to me kind of mirrors the eight Sabbaths, the eight periods of the year that we recognize in our journey through the wheel of the year. The wheel of time, the wheel of all of the cycles of everything, the cycles of the moon, the cycles of the sun, the cycles of life, you know, birth, life, death, rebirth. All of these cycles are tied up in this amazingly complicated and deeply symbolic, deeply leveled symbolic card,
mm-hmm.
if you will. Like you said, it's very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is about change. Not necessarily as profound a change as the death or the tower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the death card is about change. It's not about physical death most of the time. The tower card is about life-altering, you know, usually not good kind of change. It's about massive endings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Wheel of Fortune is about, in some ways, more about beginnings than about endings. It's definitely a cyclic card, and it is one about change, but it tends to be more the beginning of the new cycle. At least in most of the readings that I have done, it came up in a way that indicated the passing from one thing into another. Usually in a fortuitous manner, as you had expressed. It's usually a positive change. But
don't
it is
you,
definitely
don't you,
a change.
Don't you think there's an aspect here of perspective and how you choose to see it? You know, the change that's coming. With the four different figures in each of the corner of the card, and the Wheel of Fortune sort of indicating the different directions, almost like a compass in some ways. Do you feel like maybe it's a card of perspective telling you to take a look at things from many different angles as well?
Well, I think it's a card of perspective in to see how you fit in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
The perspective I think it calls us to is not in microcosm, but rather in macrocosm.
Mm-hmm.
It is the big picture card. It is seeing how everything is connected, the order, the beauty, the symmetry and harmony of the interconnectedness of everything. It is all connected. And
well, now you're getting deep. Wow.
But not well, you ask. So, but that's the perspective that I take from the card, and I guess perhaps it's the fact that it follows the Hermit puts
mm-hmm.
me in that kind of thought that framework
mm-hmm.
because we have been working within, and we've been asking the questions why does it do this, why is it this, why, and then we get this vision of the answer. That it's all connected. And that it's all a cycle, and those things that end begin again. Death is
mm-hmm.
simply a passing over to rebirth and start the cycle again.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see that, then we are drawn out of our solitude into our place in this pattern. And that's why I kept using the word destiny, because we have a place in this pattern. And when we see it and recognize it, then we can flow with the pattern rather than trying to swim against it.
Right.
And so that's the perspective that I take from this card. Yes, it is all a matter of perspective. Did you have more?
No, that was about it.
Okay. This is, in a lot of ways, this is a very fun card for me because I'm a symbologist, so I love to look at all the layers.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, we were talking last night about all of the layers of symbolism and keys that we can put into ritual and how that can improve the depth of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this card is very much like that, and maybe that's why I'm drawn to it, because it's got layer upon layer upon layer of symbolism, and then when you look at it, it all seems to fit, and
mm-hmm.
you go, oh, and the layers begin to blend together into this amazing story of interconnectedness and beauty and harmony. So, in a reading, look for those things. Look for that picture. Look for that big picture, that opportunity. Perhaps opportunity is knocking. And if it's in a past position in the reading, and it's nothing really bad, you know, it's not like, you know, Wheel of Fortune into Tower, well, that's usually telling you there's something bad happening. But Wheel of Fortune into something else may mean that, you know, well, hey, you need to look back because, you know, wait a minute, what did you miss? You know, you don't want to just, you know, maybe you were given an opportunity and the person, you didn't like the messenger. So you discounted the message, the calls of the messenger, and that's not always a good plan.
Right.
Because the divine will give us the messengers that they have available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not our job to approve of the messenger, but rather to look for the message. So an opportunity may be slipping away.
Yes.
Then when you've got like a lot of things, like the Six of Pentacles is all about, you know, financial gain. So the Wheel of Fortune moving into the Six of Pentacles could mean this huge windfall. You know, maybe a huge raise at work or a new job that is going to alter your life in some way.
Right.
You know, in a positive way. So, you know, any aces around the Wheel of Fortune, because the aces are the beginning, the fullest potential of a suit. So if you've got the Wheel of Fortune followed by an ace, well, look at that, because that's going to tell you that you're moving into the potential, the full potential of that suit, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, swords or wands or pentacles or cups. You know, Wheel of Fortune leading into the Ace of Cups could be an indication of a new relationship, a new depth to a love. Pentacles, of course, is about material. You get the idea. So, you know, look at what cards are around it, because this card just kind of connects things. In so many ways, it's almost not a card of it. It's almost not an individual meaning of its own, but rather a connecting card that helps us to understand the way the others fit together, how they fit into the big picture.
Right. Well, I think it's no coincidence that this card is sort of at the halfway point in the major arcana. And I think there's a reason for that. I think they thought this out pretty well when they were doing it. And so it is, you're right, it is kind of a gateway card to, okay, we've done the Hermit, we've done this all this portion ahead of here. Now we're at the crossroads in a way, you know, and you're going to take a chance. Go forward. It's another leap, if you will, of faith, as the Fool took in the first card, and for the rest of this journey. This is the second half of the journey. The last, we're about to embark on the last leg.
Yeah. Yeah. We've looked within, and now we're expressing ourselves outward. And where do we go from here?
Yep. Very true.
All right, well, we are at about 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. And this has kind of flown by.
That always does.
Yeah, it does. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes we'll get the show started and think, where is this going to go tonight? And then suddenly one or both of us will be inspired. And the words just start flowing.
Yeah.
And Those are the coolest shows, and this is one of them where didn't really know where this was going to go tonight. It's a fairly simple card in so many ways, and yet
Mm-hmm.
And yet.
There's a lot of depth here.
There is indeed. So, but it is 5 minutes from to the top of the hour, and I do want to remind everyone that we played the Caldera Fest promo in during the break, and we want to remind everybody that Robin and I will be working at doing interviews and some introductions and stuff at Caldera Fest, the upcoming Pagan Woodstock event coming up Memorial Day weekend, Cherokee Park near Lafayette, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Come on down. 29 artists, including Dave Zavard, that we just played one of his songs, Wendy Rule, Two Off a Day, Murphy's Midnight Rounders. You heard the list in the promo spot. So an amazing event is going to take place. This is going to be historic. There are those historic events in the pagan community that we hear about. People were there when. This is going to be one of those events.
Absolutely, I agree.
This is going to be one of those moments that you want to be able to say, I was there. Because these 29 artists all in one place over a four-day weekend at Memorial Day is going to be historic.
Agreed.
No better word for it. So we want to encourage you to come down and meet us. Come find us. I mean, we're going to be wearing shirts that have the Spiritual Unity Radio Network logo on it. And we're going to be wandering around with our microphones, and we're going to be interviewing artists and just enjoying a great time, hanging out with old friends and new. We're going to be interviewing on Thursday nights between now and Caldera Fest. We're going to be interviewing a good many of the artists. We've already spoken with Dave and Wendy Rule and Brian Hinkey. Have already been on Thursday nights with us and have hung out with us under the shady tree. Coming up, we are also going to have this week, we're talking to Dorothy Morrison, amazing, prolific pagan author, has many books of spells and a book on everyday magic. Like a spell for finding a parking place at the mall during the Yuletide season, and many other magical life hacks for contemporary youth. And she'll be joining us this coming Thursday night, two nights from tonight. Next week on Tuesday night, we will be doing our full moon ritual. As we do most the Tuesday nearest the full moon most months. Unless there's a Sabbath falls in there, and then we'll skip the full moon and go for a Sabbath ritual.
Yep.
Next Thursday, we're going to have a band. I've not heard much of their music, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. It should be interesting. We're going to have Sean Bowen from Digis Christ Super Drum. And that promises to be very interesting. The following Tuesday, on the 2nd of February, we'll be celebrating in bulk with a ritual here on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday the 4th, we will have Utu Witch Doctor from Dragon Ritual Drummers. And hanging out with him a little bit. Haven't seen him, it's been almost a year since we were hanging out down in Florida Pagan Gathering. So it'll be fun to catch up with him.
Yep.
The following Thursday, we're going to have Two Off a Day. We're going to have S.J. Tucker, Mama Jean and Lamont, all in the month of February on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 9th of February, we're going to do the Justice card. And on the 16th, we're going to continue our series on breaking down ritual into its components. Last week, we spoke about preparation.
Ritual prep, yeah.
And getting ritual prep, everything that goes into preparing for getting everybody in the circle, getting yourself together, getting everything done. On the 16th, we're going to talk about the circle casting itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means, some ways of doing it. Go ahead, you were going to say something.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I think that was about it.
Okay.
So
this coming Monday, the 25th of January, on my show, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health, I'm going to be interviewing an interesting gentleman. His name is Hercules Invictus, and he's an old friend as well, and he is going to be doing a workshop coming up here on all things Atlantean, as in Atlantis. So tune in, and we're going to be talking about that on Monday night, and again, that's this coming Monday the 25th at 10 o'clock here on CERN.
All right. So, my lady, how does someone get in touch with you?
They can reach me at my Facebook page. I just said it, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health. They can also reach me at our Facebook page, where it's really for doing appearances and workshops and counseling and all the things that we do, my holistic health practice. They can reach us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page. You can also email us, either Terry or I. We share this email address at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Please put something in the subject that lets me know what your topic is. Don't just write my name, because everybody in the world writes our names on emails. So just, you know, say who it's from or something that I will recognize about your radio show, something. And then they can also reach me on my personal Facebook page, which is Robin A. McKean. And I think that's it.
Okay. If you want to contact us about radio station business, you can, of course, contact either one of us at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com address that you just mentioned, or you can email the station. That is surn.org@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go find the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. Find me on Facebook. My friend's page is just Terry Power, very simple, but there's a few of us with that name, so you got to find the one in North Copley, Pennsylvania, that says something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network in the Works Act section, so that's easy enough to find. You can also look for my public figure page, and that is Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. Thank you, my lady, for sharing these shows, sharing my life, and making me so happy.
Aw, thank you. Right back at you, baby.
So, again, all of you guys that are listening out there, whether you're listening live or in the archives, you've made a choice about how you're going to spend this hour, and you chose to spend it with us, and we are honored. So,
yes, we are.
Thank you all. And remember to get your card and set it where you can glance at it regularly. In about 3 weeks, we'll be talking about the Justice card. So spend some time meditating and looking at the Wheel of Fortune card, and let the symbolism talk to you. And
absolutely,
we'll be back. We'll be back here just 2 nights from now. So thanks again, everyone, and we wish you a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.